This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Buzzwords come and go. According to the Global Language Monitor, which tracks English language usage and compiles a yearly list of the top 50 business buzzwords, 2013 was the year of proactive, monetize, transparency, and win-win, among others. Well, interestingly enough, innovate wasn't on that list, but it is a word that gets bandied about quite a lot as well, especially as companies seek to adapt to the speed of modern business. But what does it mean for a business to go beyond the buzzword and to really innovate? The Milwaukee Business Journal recently published an article titled Innovation Beyond the Buzzword that looks at some of the ways that Milwaukee companies are rethinking their business models. The story's author, Allison Botter, is with me in the studio now. Allison, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome back to Lake Effect.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Innovation, it's one of the buzzwords of business these days, as your cover story tells. Innovate or be left behind seems to be kind of the mantra that a lot of people are following. But let's start with what people mean by innovate. You know, can it mean different things depending on the business?
It definitely depends on what business you have. I joke that innovation is kind of used, you know, everywhere nowadays. It's a bit of a buzzword. So some companies, it seems like you can't just change, you have to innovate. What that means is a different thing for each company. If you're in retail, it means one thing. If you're producing, you know, we talked to Briggs & Stratton, so if you're talking about lawnmowers, it's something completely different. And each company kind of has to define that for themselves.
Well, but how is incorporating change in a business model new? I mean, all businesses from time immemorial have had to adapt to changing conditions or they go out of business. So what makes innovation so important and why are businesses so anxious to kind of latch onto it and show themselves to be innovative?
Well, the reason that buzzword is catching on now is coming out of the recession, the businesses are really competing in this global, digitally driven marketplace. And for them, that means that they have to be able to move a lot faster than they ever had to before because things are happening a lot quicker in this tech-driven economy.
Okay, so basically they feel that they're going to be left behind.
Exactly, yeah. And it's hard because there's so much innovation happening from startups, from online e-commerce platforms, and then you turn around and you have these big bricks-and-mortar kind of legacy Fortune 500 companies that have to not only deal with their existing day-to-day demands and infrastructure, but they also have to now pivot and be able to respond to these kind of competing startups.
You talked a lot in the article about how businesses are trying to collaborate in order to do both of those things, particularly if they have a bricks and mortar, more old-fashioned type of business. What are some of the ways that Milwaukee area businesses or Wisconsin businesses are trying to straddle these two things?
So part of it is working with those entrepreneurs, kind of integrating that, you'll hear the phrase startup mentality, into the way they operate. So this might mean changing some of the structures, and it might mean working, you know, kind of taking down a bit of the walls that might have been there before between businesses. One example is Kohl's here in Menominee Falls is very intent on being innovative, on responding to these online marketplaces that are challenging their, you know, day-to-day brick-and-mortar structure. And so what they've done is they've set up these, they call them innovation centers. There's one here in Wisconsin. There's also out in California. They're really bulking that up. And the idea is, you know, the day-to-day retail concerns, those will be taken care of, but we need to be looking 3 to 5 years down the road and really responding to where the market will be as opposed to where it is right now.
It sounds like they're setting up a research and development, an R&D section where they might not have had it before in the same way.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. It's a different focus on that, I would say, than we've seen in the past, and one that's maybe a little more urgent now than it has been previously just because of how fast the competition's moving.
Is there a danger, did you find when you were talking to folks, that businesses are innovating just for the sake of looking like they're making change rather than from, say, a well-researched and thought-out plan?
It's definitely what I've heard. You know, there are some companies that really kind of take this to heart and integrate it at all levels. And then there are others who, you know, they like to use the word innovation, but then you look at that in practice, and I certainly won't name names, but it doesn't translate to what you see. It's more of them wanting to say that they're doing this than actually following through and making the kind of big changes and the kind of risk it takes to really innovate within the business.
Well, that leads to my next question, because change is all well and good, but human beings as a species were notoriously resistant to change of any kind, even when it's good change. And one of the quotes that you have in the article is from Barbara Armstrong from Mount Mary, and she says that business must have a culture that says experimentation and failure and ergo change are acceptable in order for true innovation to occur. When you were talking to people, did they give you an idea about how we can overcome our attachment to comfort, you know, to the way things are, to our resistance to change?
Part of the struggle here is that the infrastructure in a lot of these established companies doesn't support that kind of risk-taking and mentality, which can involve failure sometimes. What I've kind of heard is that, it kind of starts from the top. The CEO on down has to be really pushing this idea and welcoming the opportunity to, you know, explore new territory, try some new ideas. But beyond that, I talked to Todd Teske, who's over at Briggs & Stratton. His approach was to get very close to the customer, see exactly, you know, what they need, where the pain points are, and try to mitigate risks by being very responsive to that and kind of knowing your audience. And so that's one way to approach it, where you have at least less of a chance of failure. But it's also a matter of changing the company structure so that there is a little time to, you know, start from scratch, tear things up, begin again.
Well, and I think you're also talking about the fundamental difference between a startup and an established company, because startups are by their very nature fluid and things are changing rapidly because you haven't established anything yet. You haven't actually set up structures. So I think you're always going to have some difficulty when you have a bigger, less wieldy organization. It's always going to be harder to change, particularly quickly.
Exactly. And that's the challenges these companies are in their various ways trying to go after. It's hard for them to pivot as quickly because they have, you know, years of infrastructure, years of established practices kind of working against that fast moving change that maybe a startup would be able to make.
Do you think, though, from what you heard from talking to folks, that being able to pivot quickly is going to be something that all companies are going to have to be able to do, no matter their size?
It certainly depends on the market, but you do certainly see startups coming up and innovating, again, using the buzzword, but, you know, making these changes that these established companies probably should have done a couple years back when the internet sort of hit the scene in the first place. So it's one of those where, you know, with the competition being so agile, they, you know, slowly but surely they're going to have to change.
Are there Milwaukee companies that are establishing new best practices that other businesses are looking to?
I certainly think Briggs & Stratton is one of those good examples. They came out with the lawnmower earlier this year that was so much quieter in the future. Todd was saying they're looking at making the startup noise a little more quiet. So something like that where they're really focusing on the development, on the new product, and on what the customer wants is, I think, a model for some businesses, even if they are in these very, you know, more traditional machine-based manufacturing kind of industries.
Well, and also a decent size. Briggs & Stratton is not small.
Exactly.
So, you know, they've got a lot of people and a lot of departments to bring along, you know, in that. So maybe other larger companies can look to them as a, you know, a model.
Yeah, I think that's the hope. And that's one where with the Innovation in Milwaukee initiative through the Greater Milwaukee Committee, Todd with Briggs & Stratton is part of this, as is Manpower Group. And most recently, Mike Lovell from Marquette University joined the team there. And their idea is to really make all of those, you know, changes and practices a little more transparent, a little more accessible, and to bring together the different companies, different entrepreneurs in the community, and try to kind of move forward together. So, you know, it's not that these companies are in a bubble trying to figure out their own, you know, new practices. There's at least some guidance and some community resources coming together around that.
And also that collaboration that you spoke about earlier, the idea that we're all in this together. You know, what is it, rising tides float all boats?
Right, exactly.
Something like that. So what's the takeaway message for you from this?
I think the takeaway is to, you know, for these big companies to really seriously look at what they mean when they say the phrase innovation. Like I said, it's the buzzword of the day. Everyone is saying it. But what that means in practice, you have to figure out what that means for your company and how you really can respond quickly and appropriately to these kind of changing and challenging markets.
Well, Allison Botter, thank you so much for stopping by this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Allison Botter is a reporter who covers small business, startups, technology, finance, and education for the Milwaukee Business Journal. Her article, Innovation Beyond the Buzzword, is in the current issue. There's a link to it from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Coming up next, Chicago-based writer Rebecca Mackay chats with us about her new novel ahead of her appearance at Boswell Books this evening. So stay tuned. Lake Effect returns with that conversation in just a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.